Good evening, sports fans. As promised, Claude, before I left New York, I have prepared a tribute to my old school friend, Collie Smith, who died under very tragic circumstances at age 25. Collie started his first-class cricket career in 1955 in Jamaica. For Jamaica, having lost the first colony match against Trinidad, were set 253 runs in 340 minutes to win the second colony match. Alan Ray, Jamaica's captain, saw Jamaica's chances slipping away and sent Collie in to get quick runs, which he did by sharing an unbroken partnership with Neville Bonita of 89 runs, Collie's contribution being 58 not out, 8 fours and 3 sixes, and hitting a mighty six off Stalmia to end the match, with Jamaica winning by 6 wickets with just 3 minutes to spare. He also took 6 wickets for 103 runs in the match with his slow right hands off breaks. Later on in 1955, Linwell Miller, Benno and company arrived for the Australian tour of the West Indies. And in their colony match against Jamaica at Melbourne Park, amassed a huge total of 453 runs. In that innings, Collie had bagged 403, and two of his victims were Hassett and Harvey. Jamaica then slumped to 81 for 5 in reply, when Ali Binns and Collie came together, putting on 277 runs for the 6 wickets, a record at the time against Australia. Collie made 169 with 24 fours and 3 sixes, and Binns 151. This was rated by L.D. Roberts, the Gleaner sports editor, as the greatest fight in recovery of all times for Jamaica. The match eventually ended in a draw. So impressed were the Australians that the morning after the match, they visited Boys Town to see where Collie had learned his cricket. The selectors picked Collie for the first test against Australia, and he scored his maiden century of 104 out of a total of 275 in the West Indies second innings, and had actually volunteered to go first wicket down when West Indies followed on 256 runs behind Australia on the first innings. Australia eventually won the match, but Collie's career was established. In the second test in Trinidad, Collie fell to the same fate as his Jamaican partner Ali Binns and got a peer and was promptly dropped by the West Indies selectors. This proved to be a mistake and he was reinstated for the final two matches of the tour, by the end of which he had established himself as an all-rounder in batting, slow right-arm stop bowler and brilliant fielder. His next tour was against New Zealand in 1956 and was uneventful, with 80 runs his highest score, but he returned to Jamaica to win the Senior Cup batting average with 445 runs at an average of 63.57 and took 14 wickets at an average of 26.35 each. Then on to England for the West Indies tour, 1957 tour of England, where Collie scored 161 in the first test match at Edgbaston, and with Frank Worrell, who scored 81, put on 190 for the 6th wicket. He again distinguished himself in the third test at Nottingham, for after Worrell had carried his bat in the first innings for 191 not out, West Indies still had to follow on, and Collie fought back to score 168 in 7 hours in the second innings against the likes of Truman and Statham. This was to be his best knock in a test match, as West Indies were able to force a draw. He won the test batting average for this 1957 tour with 396 runs at an average of 39.60. He was the only West Indian to score 2 centuries in the test matches. The Pakistan tour of West Indies in 1958 was uneventful for Collie. His highest scores were 78 in the first test in Barbados and 86 in the 5th test in Trinidad. After the tour, he sailed to England to take up his contract with Burnley in the Central Lancashire League and scored 710 runs and bagged 77 wickets for his first season. In November of 1958, he again joined the West Indies team on their tour of India and Pakistan. He hit 2 centuries on the Indian leg of the tour and a level 100 in the last test at Delhi and 140 not out against Bihar. On this tour, he developed a reputation of breaking up stubborn partnerships. So in one match, when he had dismissed 4 of the top batsmen and the tail-enders started coming in, Colley turned to Alexander, the West Indies skipper, and said, "Skip, you better give the ball to a fast bowler. I cannot bowl at these rabbits anymore." The second leg of the tour to Pakistan was difficult for Colley, and in 5 test innings, he could only score 81 runs. But because of his attitude, his caring for others, his gaiety and jovial outlook on life, under all conditions, he became the first winner of the Carl Nunez Trophy as the most outstanding member of the team on the Indian-Pakistan tour of 1958-59. Colley returned to Burnley for the 1959 season and scored his only triple century in any kind of cricket, 306 not-out versus Lower House in a Woolsey Cup match. He scored at a run a minute and hit 56 boundaries, once putting 3 successive balls out of the ground. On September 6th, Colley left Burnley along with Sobers and Dudney for London to play in a charity match. The car in which they were travelling came in collision with a 10-ton cattle wagon and all 3 were injured. Colley, who was stretched out in the back seat of the car, was injured most seriously with a broken back. He never regained consciousness and died 3 days later. In his short career, he had scored 1,331 runs in tests and taken 48 wickets. But these figures do not reflect the value or the stature of the man. So we take you back in time to September 21st, 1959, to St. George's Church, Kingston, Jamaica, where Father Sherlock, his mentor and founder of Boystown, paid the final tribute to Colley.
Many happy memories of Colley Smith. He came to Boystown when he was 9 years of age and remained a member until he was 21. For 4 years he was our head boy, and for 2 years he was captain of our senior cup cricket team. I do not wish to repeat what I said in the eulogy which was broadcast to the West Indies earlier this evening, but I do want to assure Colley's mother and all who mourn his passing of our deep sympathy and our prayerful remembrance. And I would like to answer in this brief tribute the question which so many are asking. What is the secret of Colley's amazing success on and off the field of play? What is the secret of his dynamic personality and his completely sound character? What indeed is the secret of his zest for life and his infectious gaiety? I give the answer, as Colley himself gave it to so many who inquired of him. "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." That was how he became a happy warrior, a true friend, an unselfish person, a zestful cricketer, a fine ambassador of goodwill, and a loyal disciple of Jesus Christ. It was terrific to see Colley chasing a ball, or tugging at his sleeve preparatory to bowling, or lofting a 96, and it was good to know that the reputation of Boystown, of St. Albans and Kingston College, of Jamaica and the West Indies, was in good hands when he went on tour. You know, it is quite a mistake to think that a Christian has to be a softie. The Reverend David Shepherd is a cricketer of test caliber. Sir Jack Hobbs was a fine cricketer. C.C. Studd, who became a missionary, was as fine a test all-rounder as ever represented England. And Colley Smith is another fine example of the rugged Christian sportsman. One thing I shall always remember about the little man, as I used affectionately to call him, was his eagerness to bear his Christian witness. When he played his match-winning hurricane innings against Trinidad, when he made his magnificent 164 for Jamaica against Australia, and when he made his gallant century in his first test against the men from down under, Collie was present each evening to read the lesson at our boys' town hour of worship. Many went elsewhere to celebrate. Collie was at worship with his little comrades in the city of little men. I remember how impressed Desmond Kentish, the captain of Melbourne Cricket Club, was to find Collie at worship at Boys Town. So impressed that he remained on to worship also. And wherever Collie played the game, in the West Indies, in New Zealand, in England, he would be found at worship, and he would, whenever possible, read the lesson. His spare time in the evenings would always be given to boys' clubs or boys' brigade companies or scout troops. Always giving, always sharing, always inspiring. In thinking of Collie, I think of a vital and enthusiastic person. I had sometimes, when Anno Dom and I were catching up with me, to ask him not to run me off my feet, and I would try and concentrate on boundaries instead of singles, for Collie was the fastest runner between wickets that I have ever seen. And he ran life quickly too. 25 short years, and he bade him goodbye. But we will not forget him, and we will honor his memory. I think often of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Hymn when I think of Collie. Who with true valor see, let him come hither. One hair would constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement could make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. He was a pilgrim indeed, and the world is better and life is richer because in his happy and dedicated pilgrimage, Collie passed this way. And now he has ended the earthly pilgrimage, and the trumpets have sounded for him on the other side. May God help us to honor his memory by being faithful to Christ, whom he so greatly loved, and who helped him to see life steadily and to see it whole. Thank God for Collie, and for his life which will ever be a challenge, and his memory which will ever be an inspiration.